may be seated.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to be looking at verses 8 through 12. For those of you that braved it and brought your kids this morning, hang in there. It just gets longer. Also, I noticed this, that if you are going to come, go ahead and bring your iPad, your iPhone, whatever it takes to keep the kids entertained. Go ahead and do so. The Prouties up here, they wanted to know if they could bring the sandbox, but we didn't know how Cavi would accept this for the next week as he got rid of all the sand. But anything short of a sandbox, go ahead and give it a whirl, because it is good to worship with you once again, especially I've been preaching to about 8 to 10 people, and then my wife gets it all week, so you can understand what that's like. In 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter comes to a conclusion. He says, finally, in verse 8, but he really starts back in chapter 2 and verse 13. He introduces the subject of submitting yourselves to every ordinance, and he uses the word submit. Then when he gets to chapter 2, beginning in verse 16, as free and yet slaves of God, and he talks about the freedom that we have in Christ, and yet servants are to be subject. Then as you're going to notice as he goes on down through there, he wants us to respond as Christ would have us to respond. And he wants us to continue to do right. He wants us to keep silent. He wants to commit all these things continually into his hands. And then finally, he wants us to keep our eye on the goal that God has before us. He wants us to submit, to yield, to turn the controls over to him. Then we see in chapter 3 and verse 1, he says, in like manner. And he begins to seem as though it's a totally separate idea, because he's talking about the women and the men within the home. And yet he says, in like manner, wives, I want you to submit. And fellows, in like manner, verse 7, I want you to submit, which means I yield up my rights in love. And so then when he comes to chapter 3 and verse 8, he says, finally. So the word there, submit, means that I yield up my rights in love, but it also, it's a military term in which I rank under an authority that's absolutely over me. And so when I yield to this authority that's absolutely over me, it not only affects my home, it not only affects my family, it also affects the lives that we have within the Church of Jesus Christ, and we so often miss that. But there once again, what does it look like when I die to my will, my way, my rights, and my wishes, and I turn them over to someone else, and in this case, it's the Lord Jesus Christ? Our Father, I thank you so very much that you are a great God. I thank you for the body of Christ. I thank you for the people that are gathered not only here, but also by way of live streaming. I would ask you, Lord Jesus, that we could keep our eyes upon you and not upon circumstances, in Jesus' name, amen. When you come to know Christ as your Savior, the God of the universe and the person of the Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of us. Now, if God lives on the inside of us, why do we see so few people, so few Christians, even displaying the character and characteristics of Jesus Christ? I think one of the things that we see is that we're still wrapped up in ourselves. I, me, and my. And I haven't absolutely surrendered the controls of my life over to someone else. And unless I do that, there's not going to be these evidence. But when you come to, like I said, in verse 13, the word there, submits, a military term, it means to arrange a military fashion under the absolute control of the commander or the leader. And so what I need to do is I need to turn my rights, my I, my will, over to this living God. Now, what are the evidence? And he gives us three evidence in this passage of Scripture. One is there's going to be a love for God's people. The secondly, there's going to be a love for God's providence. And finally, there's going to be a love for God's precepts. So as I die to my will, my way, and my rights, what are the evidences? Notice that we love God's people. He says, finally, he says, sum all this up in verse 8. As Jesus is allowed to be seen in me, what are people going to see? Because I find there's too much of this stuff of, is I'm going to try. And the harder you try, the worse you do. I'm going to try to live the Christian life. I'm going to try to be Christ-like. It's not a matter of being Christ-like or trying to be Christ-like. It's a matter of me dying to my will, my way, and my rights, and turning my will, my way, and my rights over to someone else. So now notice this, there's going to be a love for God's people. He says, compliment one another. He says, be ye all of one mind. It doesn't mean that we're all going to be alike, because let me tell you, we're all different. We can't even decide as a board as to whether to wear a mask or whether not to wear a mask. And I see some of you out there, the wife has one on and the husband doesn't. So I don't know what that, I wasn't going to say this, my wife told me not to. But guess what? Phil just held up I got me a silk mask. Isn't that cool? I said it matches my underwear, and my wife said, my wife says you just went too far, and Phil just raised up the filter sign. We can't even agree on simple stuff, on small stuff, as to whether we're going to social distance or whether we're not, whether we're going to open up the roads or whether or not. By the way, take a look at each one of these signs on the seat. They are funny. I like that one. You might be saved, but it's not going to be in this row. But anyway. But what does it mean that let this mind be in you? Well, he says in Philippians chapter 2, he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him. That's the mind. That's the mind that we need to have within the Church of Jesus Christ. That's the way we're one mind. Let this mind be in you who thought it not right. He made himself, he took upon himself the form of a servant, and guess what? He died. He died for you and he died for me. That's the attitude that we need to see within the Church of Jesus Christ. When I am no longer seen, but Christ is living in me and living through me. Notice this, he says there once again, there is a compliment one another. Then compassion for one another. Having compassion for one another, love as brothers. Have compassion one for another. In other words, I look out for the needs of others. It's what's been probably one of the positives that I've seen with the COVID-19 over. By the way, did you realize it's been 12 weeks? 12 weeks? And for everybody who was back here and just playing as though all you folks were out there, but it's really great to hear you singing. It's really great to hear someone other than me singing to myself. It's kind of... It's like someone told me that I have a radio face. I didn't know what that meant until I was live. I have a radio face. And then someone this morning says, do you know what? Your hair's a whole lot whiter on television. How in the world can your hair be whiter than white? I don't get it. But anyway, you folks are so kind with what you say, compassionate one for another. But to show, be able to show the needs and to fill the needs of someone else. That's what happens whenever Jesus Christ is seen within my heart and within my life. I don't try to have compassion. I do have compassion. I do care about someone else. Then he says, love as brothers. Love as brothers. It's the word Philadelphia. To love as brothers. We're a part of the same family. There has been... I was really encouraged with the marches that we've been seeing. I've been encouraged with some of them. Others have been very disappointing. But as far as the marches, the one that impressed me the most that I saw just today, it was in San Antonio, and the protesters came into San Antonio and they were going to march in this one park. The park was taken over by a Christian group that they were going to have prayer and praise, and they were going to pray for the protest that was going on around the country. And so The unbeknownst to the protesters, these folks were meeting there. The San Antonio Police Department gave a heads up to the praise and worship people that these people were coming. And so they began to filter in and filter in and filter in and filter in. And the leader of the protesters came up and apologized and said, "We're so sorry that we're interrupting your praise and worship." Before it was over, they were singing together and praying together and praising together, and they didn't have any idea what social distancing was because they were hugging each other. Notice this, brotherly love, brotherly love. If we're ever going to have changes within America, there's going to have to be a revival of God's people. It's not going to be a march that does it. It's not going to be a protest that does it. It's going to be a change of hearts and lives that we have in ourselves. Because a spiritual awakening is the only thing that's going to stop racism. Also, I found that as long as you are white, you are automatically a racist. I found that out. I didn't even realize it. Also, if you want to really try to do something, it's a deviant thing, but did you ever try to prove you're not a racist? That's like, have you stopped beating your wife lately? Stop and think about that one. Yes? No? It's the same way. It's a no-win solution. But what I've seen it in a couple places. I also saw this similar thing in Lynchburg. Whenever the people of faith get together, it doesn't matter. Not only does black lives matter, what about blue lives? It bothers me whenever I see people that are actually being killed that are protesting. What about them? I understand George Floyd. I understand all the, but what about the others? We're not going to stop this racism thing until there is a spiritual awakening among the people of God. And if there's a spiritual awakening, then you're going to find what you have in San Antonio is that there's a whole lot of things in common when you stand at the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ. And it stops at that point, because then there is praise and then there is worship and there is a brotherly love. Love as brothers. Why? Because we're part of the same family. But as many as received him, he gives the power or the ability to become children of God, even to those that believe on his name. And the moment that I receive Christ, something happens. I become a part of a greater family as to whether it's black, white, or brown. I become a part of the family of God. And at that point, there is brotherly love. When I die to my will, my way, and my rights, and I begin to embrace the cause of Jesus Christ. Caring one for another. He says, be pitiful. Boy, when I read that, I thought, man, as a pastor, I've seen a lot of pitiful people. I didn't look at anybody in the congregation. It says, be pitiful. It means tenderhearted. It's a kindness of heart towards other people. Let me tell you, it's easy to become insulated and isolated within the Church of Jesus Christ. But as Jesus showed his concern, you're going to find that God does something within us, and our hearts just automatically go out to people that are hurt and bruised and broken by sin. That's just what happens. When I die to my will and my way, and Jesus Christ is seen, there is a compliment one another, compassion for one another, there's a caring for one another, and then there's a courtesy to one another. He says, be courteous. That isn't a brother sister loving each other. I don't know how this happens with COVID-19. I could probably ask the Proudies, how does this be courteous to one another work within the Proudies with these children are sitting? By the way, you guys are really doing good. And if it goes too much longer, I'll want whatever you're eating. That's really good. But to be courteous, it means humble in spirit. God hates pride, and he gives grace to the humble. Jesus Christ, he humbled himself and he died, guess what, for somebody else. Somebody that didn't love him, somebody that didn't care for him, somebody that wanted nothing. Christ, he came into, remember the disciples were fussing over who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? What does Jesus do? He bends down and takes a bowl of water and begins to wash the disciples' feet. You're going to find that when Jesus Christ is seen in my life, I'm thinking about others instead of myself. I will automatically want what's best for someone else. You see the Jesus in us. We need to see ourselves who we really are, but we also need to see Jesus as he really is. So you're going to notice there once again, as I die to my will and my way and my rights, one side is going to be a love for God's people. Second thing, there's going to be a love for God's providence. I don't understand the providence of God. I really don't. But I do know that Jesus allows negative things to come into our lives from time to time. You see, I always hear this statement, which is correct, within the African. You don't know what it's like to be black. It's true. But you don't know what it's like to be Asian. You don't know what it's like to be white. Because let me tell you, I don't care what color you are, there are times in your life in which God allows hurtful, harmful things to come in, and you don't know what it's like to be white and live in Fayette County and have no job. We so often just look at everything from our perspective. It's I, me, and my. I don't understand why God allows some people to live and some people to die. I was watching the story of this George Floyd that had actually, he was a believer, and he came to know Christ while he was in Texas, and had actually just gone up to Minneapolis to visit. All of that is usually lost in the, I don't know why he died, and others are still alive. I don't understand that. I don't understand the providence of God always. I don't understand why children ever do have to die. I don't understand that. There's so many times, but I've noticed this. If I understood everything about the providence of God, then guess what? I would be God. God does have a plan, and God does have a purpose. And so you're going to notice the recipients of this letter, they were receiving a certain amount of persecution. Why? Because Nero was persecuting the church. And guess what? They were right in the center of God's will. Right in the center of God's will, and they still were suffering. So Peter indicates that the readers were trying to settle these injuries and insults in their own way. I'm sure glad it only stops at Peter's time, that the only, if you're insulted, that's one of the things I love to have grandkids around for a period of time, because then I remember what kids are like. I also understand why 74-year-old people don't have kids. Okay, Brock, now give Elise a hug. That's no hug. Make it 5 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, that's it. And what? Oh man. Whenever injuries are done, guess what? I don't care whether you're 9 or whether you're 5 or whatever it is. You'll want to get even and you want to retaliate. What I always like with my grandkids, they always know when one is sincere and the other is not. And so often we. Looking out at this group, I'm sure glad you finally have outgrown that, and you never want to get even when somebody wrongs you. I'm sure glad that you always do it just right. Well, let me tell you, the tendency is when you get bumped, when the flesh is in the road, you're going to spill over, and it can be really ugly for those of us who even know Christ. But notice this. Notice the actions. He says, stop retaliating, repaying evil for evil, insult for insult. Stop retaliating, repay. Give in exchange. You know what it's like to exchange a gift. Well, you did up until recently. You could go back to Walmart and exchange anything, and now they don't want you to exchange anything hardly at all. But you know what an exchange is. It's one of those ties you get at Christmas time that you wonder, either that or one of these silk underwears that goes along, and you're saying, I don't think I'm going to be wearing this, guys. I don't know how this works. But what happens is that you want to exchange it. And so you take it back to the counter and you say, could I have this for this? That's the word repay. Exchange. Exchange. You don't want to, but he tells me what to exchange it for. Give in exchange. Would you like to exchange that? He says, notice the attitude. Here's what you exchange it for. Blessing. Blessing. That's the attitude. It's not just stop doing the negative, retaliating. But exchange it. What am I going to exchange it for? Blessing. We get our word eulogy. It means to speak well of. The very ones that crucified him. He says, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. That's the attitude of Christ. Maybe there's someone here this morning that's the same way. You have been wronged, and you're trying to get even. You're trying to make it right. And guess what? You can't make some things right. But what happens is that what usually happens, we usually don't speak well of the people that are a pain in the biscuit. We usually don't speak well. Usually we want to retaliate. Okay, so what do I exchange for retaliation? Exchange it for a blessing. Bless those people. Bless those people. And I think that so often we miss this. We want our way. And the most important thing is I, me, and my. It's not the most important thing. The most important thing in your life at any time is Jesus Christ being seen. Is Christ seen in my life? And the way it is not only the negative. Stop this. Stop retaliating. Stop revenging. Stop reviling. But the other side is exchange it. Exchange it for blessing. Start to bless those people that are causing you problems. Start to bless those people that are causing pain. Notice the authority. Knowing that you are called to this. Oh my goodness. That's the providence of God. Called. Peter loved this idea of called. Remember back in chapter 1, verse 15? He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. You've been called to be set apart to God and for God. You're going to notice he also liked the word when it gets to chapter 2 and verse 13, that you were called out of darkness. I love that call. Into his marvelous light. That's your calling. In other words, in eternity past, God ordained certain things. He allows things to happen. He allows things to come into your life. The person, the circumstance, the situation that is so negative, God still wants to use it for his honor and for his glory. And we need to handle it in the right manner. Notice this. He says that he wants you, don't always, he says we are called to constantly, continually bless those who hurt us and cause us pain. You say, well, that isn't natural. That isn't natural. Why? Because these protests are natural. Because I'm ticked. And if I'm ticked, then guess what? I'm going to show it. It's supernatural. That's the whole point. It's supernatural. Whenever I respond and I exchange blessing for retaliation, blessing for reviling, that's Jesus living in me and living through me. Because the human side, if you hit me on the cheek, I'm just like that 5-year-old kid. I want to smack you with my other hand. I'm just like that person that stomps his feet and says, no, you can't do that to me anymore. And that isn't the way it works. When Christ is seen, the authority, then notice it, that you should inherit a blessing. Not only this, notice this. Remember back in chapter 2 and verse, I believe it's verse 19. He says, for this is thanksworthy, worthy of thanks. If a man for conscience towards God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, that you should inherit a blessing. Now you bless somebody else, you exchange the retaliation and you speak well of. You say, well, nobody sees it. No, God does. God does. Do you realize that God sees, God knows, and God cares? It says, and you will inherit a blessing. It's a favored position with God's hand definitely upon us. Because with this pain and suffering, that's how we grow. That's how we become more Christ-like. And so what happens is that Jesus Christ, as he is seen, you say, well, no one sees, no one knows. God does. Now, it's also a negative but a positive. Do you realize that God sees and God knows everything that you do? That's the negative side. You say, oh my goodness. The other side of it is when you speak well of it, God takes note. And he says, I'll bless your life. Okay, let's make this very practical. Let's say someone, of course there's no one here that has a royal pain in their life, but let's say that you do, and you retaliate. Or it might be Pastor Bixel. Now, okay, and you're so ticked at Pastor Bixel. I mean, you get up in the morning, go to bed, Pastor Bixel, Who do you think you hurt? I'll tell you, Pastor Bixel has not lost a bit of sleep over all the griping and complaining that you've done this last week. Unless Mary gets it, and then he gets it. But it's the same way. You can hate Pastor Murray all you want, and let me tell you, when I'm out there fishing for walleye, I really don't care. So who do you hurt? You hurt yourself. But what happens if you take it in a Christ-like manner and you begin to let this thing go? And you turn this thing over to God and you begin to bless that person who is now reviling you and retaliating against you and hurting you. Guess what? You inherit a blessing. As you let this thing go, God blesses your life. Peace, joy, kindness, goodness. And not to say that you can sure sleep well at night. You inherit a blessing when Jesus Christ is seen in and through your life. You've been called to this. You've been called to this because God is looking out for your good. As I die to my wishes and Jesus Christ is seen, there's a love for God's people, there's a love for God's providence, but there's also a love for God's precepts in verses 10 to 12. For he that will... Do you want to love life and see good days? No, I want to have a crummy life and see bad days. Some of you may. Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. What Peter does here is he goes back to the Word of God and he begins to quote... He begins to quote Psalm 34. In order to understand what's in this passage of Scripture, do you want to love life? Maybe you've lost your zeal for life. Maybe you're not enjoying good days. Have you lost your love for life? Maybe it's found in this passage. So I went back and began to look at Psalm 34. They're not days that are necessarily free from problems because I looked at this in verse 4. And he says, he wrote of fears. He says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Verses 6 and 7, he talks about the poor man cried unto the Lord and he saved me out of all my troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps about those who fear him and he delivers them. But let me tell you, there may be times in which you have troubles and fear. Verse 19, he talks about afflictions. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. So just because you enjoy life and see good days does not mean that you're going to have some negatives. In verse 18 says, the Lord is near even to those that are of a broken heart. A broken heart. Maybe there's times in your life in which you've had a broken heart, you've had a broken spirit. The good days for a believer is not one in which he's pampered and sheltered, but one in which he experiences the very presence and the promises and the power of God right in the midst of it. Because you're going to notice in verses 1 to 3, first, it's a day of verse in which he magnifies the Lord. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. He experiences answered prayer. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me. They looked upon me, and their faces were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Wow. Verse 8, he says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. That's the context of which Peter is writing when it comes to this passage of Scripture. Notice our major in verses in this passage of Scripture. He starts out, watch your words. Watch your words. He says, verse 10. He says, for he that loves life and sees good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that speak no guile. Watch what comes out of your mouth because it's in your heart. You're going to notice, like I said, Pastor Bexel, Pastor Bexel, Pastor Bexel, Pastor Bexel. It's going to eat into your soul. It's going to eat into your spirit. And so you have to watch what comes out of you. But it's only as Jesus Christ is in the proper place that the right things come out. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Watch your walk, he says in verse 11. First was God's power. This is God's peace. Notice what he's, let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. You see, when I die and Jesus Christ is seen, notice what he says here. He says, let him seek peace and pursue it. Can we tell you why there's so many protests right now? Because troubled people cause trouble. Troubled people cause trouble. And so often within our lives, seek peace and pursue it. Then you're going to notice that our monitor, for God takes notes. Notice what he says in verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to the prayers, and his face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Notice this, he sees. The word there, over, is upon. The eyes of the Lord are upon, directed favorably. Can you imagine that God sees and directs positive things to come into my life? It says, as I submit and as I yield and as I have a Christ life, his eyes are upon me. His eyes are upon me. Then notice what he says. He not only sees, but notice the next thing. He hears. He says he's unto, his ears are unto their prayers. There again, it's not unto, it's into. His ear is into their prayers. When I respond in a Christ-like manner, God does hear. God does see. God does listen. His prayer, his ear is into his prayer. But then notice God acts. He's against those who are rebellious, those who are not willing to yield to his will. Boy, if God be for us, who can be against us? Let me tell you, if God's against you, you're going to have a lot of trouble. You know that thing that you're holding on to, that thing that you're grasping? Let it go. It's not big enough. It's not worth it. That person, it's not worth it. The situation, it's not worth it. Let it go. We had a Cetera Twin revival. They'd been in Canada, and they came, and they taught us a song. The song went like this: let God have his way. He knows what is best. Let God have his way. He'll give you sweet rest. Let God have his way, and you'll surely be blessed. This moment, let God have his way. If you're here this morning, and if you're listening, and you say, I don't even know Jesus Christ, you can't have peace. But there are those of you that are here that you are hanging on to someone, some circumstance, some situation. You'll notice that the yellow tape is every other row, because we're going to sing a song called Have Thine Own Way, Lord, Have Thine Own Way. You've been hanging on to something, a circumstance or a situation is too big for you. God says, let it go. Let God have his way. He knows what is best. Let God have his way, and you'll surely be blessed. This moment, let God have his way. Let's all stand as we sing, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. If God is dealing with you, listen to what he is saying. Have Thine Own Way, Lord.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
I'm going to ask you a question. Are you willing to let it go? Are you willing to let yourself go and see what God can do? You see, this moment, let God have his way, and you'll surely be blessed. This moment. Let's sing the last verse.
Have thine own way.
Our Father, I thank you so very much that you take us as we are and where we are. You know the heartaches, the hurts, and all the things that come into our lives. I'd ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would allow us to yield completely to you. May this next week we quit trying to live the Christian life and allow you to live that life through us. In Jesus' name, amen.